Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Blood Oath Broken, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Oath and the Betrayal. I've always believed that in this life, you only swear an oath once. You don't break it. You don't bend it. It's blood in, blood out. The first time I killed a man for the Borelli family, Frank himself stood over me, his leather shoes polished to perfection, not a speck of dirt on them despite the blood pooling at his feet. He clapped a hand on my shoulder, looked me straight in the eye, and said, "You belong to us now, Vince. You take this oath, and it ain't just words. It's the marrow in your bones." That was 15 years ago. And up until now, I've never given him a reason to doubt me. But tonight, everything changed. I sat in the back booth of a dive bar on the Lower East Side, a half-empty glass of whiskey sweating against my palm. Sal sat across from me, his fingers drumming on the table. He hadn't touched his drink. That wasn't like him. Sal didn't leave liquor untouched unless something was seriously wrong. "Vince," he started, but his voice caught, like he didn't know how to say it. I already knew whatever he was about to say wasn't good. My gut had been chewing itself apart all day. Something in the air felt off, like a storm brewing before the sky cracks open. "What?" I muttered, staring at him. He exhaled sharply, leaning forward. "There's a rat in the family." I didn't flinch. That was nothing new. There was always a rat somewhere. The feds had been trying to crawl up our asses for years. "Frank wants it handled," he continued. "Says it's someone close. Real close." I swirled my whiskey and took a sip, letting the burn settle. "And?" Sal hesitated, glancing over his shoulder. The place was half empty, but old habits die hard. He lowered his voice. "It's Eva." Everything in me turned to stone. I stared at him, waiting for the punchline. The laugh. The gotcha moment. But Sal wasn't smiling. "You're full of shit," I said, my voice cold. Sal didn't react, just slid something across the table, a manila envelope, thick with surveillance photos. My name was scribbled on the front in Frank's jagged handwriting. My fingers felt like lead as I reached for it, pulling it open. The first photo hit me like a bullet to the chest. Eva. My wife. The woman I built a goddamn life with. Sitting in a booth at a coffee shop. Across from a man in a suit. FBI. My stomach twisted, but I kept flipping. More photos. Different locations. Different days. The same agent. Their heads bent together, whispering. Her passing him something, a goddamn file. My blood ran ice cold. "She's been talking to the feds for months," Sal said, his voice low. "They got recordings. Names. Locations. Operations. Frank lost 3 warehouses this week because of her." My chest ached. This wasn't real. This couldn't be real. Sal leaned in. "Frank's giving you 48 hours. I looked up sharply. "For what?" His eyes were hard. "To handle it." A silence stretched between us. My mind felt like a grenade that had just been primed. 48 hours. That's how long my wife had left to live. I drove home in a daze, the city lights bleeding into long streaks of neon through the windshield. My fingers clenched around the steering wheel so tight they ached. My heart slammed against my ribs like a caged animal. Eva. The woman who lay next to me every night. The woman who kissed me in the morning, whispered I love you in the dark. The woman I thought I knew. A fucking rat. I pulled into the driveway, cutting the engine. For a moment, I just sat there, staring at the house. The porch light was on, casting a soft glow over the front steps. The same steps where we used to sit in the summer, drinking wine and talking about bullshit that didn't matter. I got out, walked to the door, and pushed it open. Inside, the house smelled like rosemary and garlic. Dinner. Like any other night. Like my world hadn't just imploded. Eva was in the kitchen, her back to me, chopping vegetables. I stood there, watching her. My fingers twitched at my sides. She turned, smiling when she saw me. "Hey, you're home late," she said, wiping her hands on a towel. "Everything okay?" The lie tasted like bile. "Yeah." She walked over, slipping her arms around my waist, pressing herself against me. "I missed you," she murmured, pressing a kiss to my jaw. My hands hovered over her back, hesitation locking my muscles. She felt warm, real, mine, but she wasn't. Not anymore. I forced myself to hold her, inhaling the scent of her shampoo, her skin, memorizing it. 48 hours. She pulled back, her brow furrowing. "Vince, you okay?" I forced a smirk. "Yeah, just a long day." She smiled, tracing her fingers down my arm. "Come eat. You look exhausted." I followed her to the table, my mind a whirlwind of rage, grief, and something I wasn't ready to name yet. I had 2 days to kill my wife, and I had no fucking idea if I could do it. The next morning, I left before she woke up. I drove to a spot under the Brooklyn Bridge where I knew I wouldn't be followed. My hands shook as I lit a cigarette, staring out at the water. What the fuck was I supposed to do? If I killed her, I'd never be able to live with myself. But if I didn't, Frank would have me buried next to her. The oath wasn't just words. It was everything. And now, I was about to break it. Chapter 2, Hunting Shadows. I didn't sleep that night. How could I? The weight of the envelope on my desk felt heavier than any body I'd ever buried. The evidence was there. Eva had betrayed me, betrayed us, the family I had given my whole life to. I should have been planning how to handle it, where to do it, how to make it clean, how to make her disappear. But all I could do was sit in that chair, whiskey in one hand, gun in the other, staring at the clock as it ticked down. 48 hours. That was the deadline Frank had given me. Now it was 44. The sun was already rising by the time I pulled myself together. My throat was raw from chain smoking, my head a fucking mess. I took a cold shower, hoping it would wake me up. It didn't. Nothing would shake this feeling. The slow suffocation of knowing that I was about to murder my wife. And maybe the worst part, I wasn't even sure if I could. Eva was still asleep when I left the house. I stood in the doorway for a long moment, watching her, taking her in. She looked peaceful. Innocent. Like she wasn't the woman who had been feeding information to the feds behind my back. I clenched my jaw, grabbed my keys, and walked out. I had work to do. The first stop was the Borelli compound, a warehouse by the docks, disguised as a shipping facility. On paper, it moved goods in and out of the city, high-end liquor, imported cigars, auto parts. The truth was, it moved a lot more than that. Drugs. Guns. People. Frank was already there, waiting for me. He sat behind a desk on the upper level, a cigar burning between his fingers, watching the floor below like a king surveying his kingdom. When I walked in, his dark eyes flicked to me. "You handle it?" he asked, exhaling a thick cloud of smoke. "Not yet," I said. His brow lifted. He didn't like that answer. "Clock's ticking, Vince." "I know." Frank studied me for a long moment. Then he reached into his drawer, pulled out a small recorder, and hit play. The voice that came through was hers. "Eva's. I don't know how much more time I have before he finds out." "He." The FBI agent's voice. "My husband." A sharp pain shot through my chest. I gritted my teeth. "You need to give us something concrete, Eva. If this case is gonna hold, we need more than locations." A pause. Then her voice again. Softer. Almost regretful. "I never wanted this. I swear. But I don't have a choice anymore." Frank pressed stop. The silence in the room was deafening. "You hearing this shit, Vince?" Frank leaned back in his chair. "Your wife never wanted this. Ain't that fucking sweet?" I didn't respond. Couldn't. "She's done," Frank said, his voice like iron. "This ain't a discussion." I met his eyes. "I'll take care of it." His gaze didn't waver. "You better." I left without another word. By the time I got back into the city, I knew I had to follow her. I had to see it for myself. I spent the next few hours tailing Eva, watching her every move. She was careful. Too careful. Checking over her shoulder, doubling back, never taking the same route twice. She knew she was being watched. By who? The feds. Or me. She stopped at a small diner on the east side, sat at a booth near the window. 5 minutes later, an FBI agent slid into the seat across from her. Same guy from the photos. I stayed outside, watching. My fingers twitched against the grip of my gun. One shot. That's all it would take. One shot, and this would be over. I could walk in there, put a bullet in her head, and by the time anyone reacted, I'd be gone. I didn't pull the trigger. I needed to hear it from her own mouth. That night, I confronted her. I walked into the house, closed the door, and locked it. Eva was in the kitchen again, pouring herself a glass of wine. She looked up, smiling softly. "Hey." I didn't smile back. "Where were you today?" She hesitated. "At the gallery." "Lie." I took a slow step forward. "Try again." Her fingers tightened around the wine glass. "Vince. Don't." My voice came out harsher than I intended. "Don't fucking lie to me." She swallowed. "You know." I nodded. For a long moment, neither of us spoke. Then I pulled out the gun and set it on the counter between us. Her breath hitched. She didn't beg. She didn't cry. All she said was, "Are you going to do it?" I stared at her. My wife. My fucking wife. The woman I had promised to protect. The woman who had betrayed me. And for the first time in my life, I didn't know what the hell to do. Chapter 3. The truth cuts deep. Eva's eyes didn't leave mine. She wasn't shaking. She wasn't crying. She wasn't even afraid. She just stared at the gun between us, her face unreadable, her breathing slow and even. It was like she had already made peace with whatever came next. Like she had known this moment was inevitable. I wanted her to deny it. To tell me it was all a lie, a setup, a misunderstanding. But she didn't. She just exhaled softly and said, "I never wanted to hurt you, Vince." The sound of her voice, so calm, so certain, made something in my chest snap. "You put a bullet between my fucking eyes the moment you ran your mouth to the feds." I snarled, shoving the gun closer to her. "So tell me why, Eva. Tell me why you did this." She swallowed, slow, deliberate. "Because it was the right thing to do." I laughed. A dry, humorless sound that scraped against my throat like broken glass. "The right thing? You think the feds give a shit about right and wrong?" I leaned in, voice dropping to a growl. "They're not your friends, Eva. They're just another gang. Just with badges instead of guns." She didn't flinch. "I know that." "Then why?" My voice cracked, just slightly. "Why the fuck did you do it?" Her lips parted, but she hesitated. I saw it, the war in her eyes, the battle between what she wanted to say and what she had to say. When she finally spoke, her voice was barely above a whisper. "Because I found out what the Borellis really do." I frowned. "We run numbers, rackets, protection. No, Vince." Her voice hardened. "That's what you tell yourself. That's what they let you believe." Something cold slithered through my gut. "What the fuck are you talking about?" Eva's fingers curled into fists. "You really don't know, do you?" She exhaled, shaking her head. "I thought." She cut herself off. "Doesn't matter what I thought. You deserve the truth." I clenched my jaw. "Then spit it the fuck out." She did. And what she told me changed everything. The Borelli family wasn't just running gambling rings and racketeering. They weren't just moving drugs and guns. That was the surface level shit. The shit that guys like me dealt with, so we wouldn't ask too many questions. The truth. They were trafficking women. Children. The second she said it, I felt like I'd been gutted. "I saw the records, Vince." Her voice was steady, but I could see the pain behind her eyes. "Shipping manifests. Transaction logs. Names. Ages." She shook her head. "Girls as young as 9. Some even younger." No, the word came out as a breath. A denial. A desperate fucking plea. That's not what we do. She exhaled sharply. "You think Frank lets you in on everything? You think he tells his enforcers all the dirty little details?" I felt sick. My head was spinning. I wanted to call her a liar, but the way she looked at me, like she pitied me, made me want to put my fist through the wall. I grabbed the gun off the counter, gripping it so tight my knuckles turned white. "This is a setup," I growled. "A fed fucking setup." "It's not. You're lying." She slammed her hands against the counter. "Then kill me, Vince. Right now. Put a bullet in my head and go back to Frank like a good fucking dog. But deep down, you know I'm telling the truth. You've always known." I sucked in a sharp breath. Flashes of memories slammed into me all at once. The shipments that never made sense. The deliveries we weren't allowed to check. The guys who disappeared when they started asking too many questions. And the one thing I never let myself think about. The terrified eyes of a girl we rescued years ago from a rival gang. Frank had promised she'd be safe. That she'd be sent back to her family. But she was never seen again. Jesus Christ. I staggered back, running a hand through my hair. "Fuck," I muttered. "Fuck, fuck, fuck." Eva's voice softened. "I didn't do this to betray you, Vince. I did it to save people." I looked at her then. Really looked at her. My wife. The woman I'd been ready to put in the ground. And for the first time since this nightmare started, I didn't see a rat. I saw the only person in my life who still had a soul. But it didn't matter. because I hesitated. And in this life, hesitation is death. My phone buzzed in my pocket. I knew who it was before I even looked. Sal. I answered. Yeah. His voice was tense. They know, Vince. My blood ran cold. What? They know you didn't do it. My stomach twisted. Sal. Frank just put a hit out. On both of you. A long pause. Then, quietly, almost regretfully, he added, I'm sorry, man. The line went dead. I turned to Eva. My heart was hammering against my ribs. We need to run. There was no time to pack. No time to think. Within minutes, we were out the door, into my car, speeding through the city like the devil was on our heels. I kept checking the rearview mirror, half expecting headlights to appear, tires screeching, bullets flying. Eva was gripping the seat, her breathing shallow. Where are we going? Safe house, I said. Couple of places only I know about. Her eyes darted to me. Do you really think we can get away? I didn't answer. Because I didn't fucking know. For 15 years, I was the one hunting people. Now I was the one being hunted. And the only way out was through a fucking bloodbath. Chapter 4, Blood on My Hands. We had been running for hours. The city blurred past in streaks of neon and headlights, the pulse of New York beating under the wheels of my car. Every turn, every alley, every stretch of asphalt felt like a countdown to the inevitable. I knew this life. I had hunted men before. I knew how this would end. And I knew we didn't have much time. Eva sat stiff in the passenger seat, gripping the gun I'd given her with white-knuckled hands. She didn't speak, didn't look at me. I didn't blame her. After all, an hour ago, I had a gun pointed at her head. Now she was all I had left. They'll be tracking my car, I muttered, taking a sharp turn down a side street. I knew exactly where to go. We need to ditch it. We need more than that, Eva said. We need a way out of the city. She was right. But first, we needed to disappear. I pulled into a darkened parking garage and killed the engine. The silence that followed was thick, suffocating. I reached for the duffel bag under my seat, cash, burner phones, spare clips. I had prepared for a lot of things in this life, but never for this. Here. I tossed her a change of clothes from the bag. Lose the jacket. They'll have eyes on what we were wearing. She hesitated, then took it. We changed in silence, the weight of everything pressing down on us. When I glanced at her, she was staring at me, her expression unreadable. You hesitated, she said quietly. I stiffened. Back at the house. The moment I found out the truth. When she told me everything, and I couldn't pull the trigger. Yeah, I admitted. I did. A beat of silence. Then. Why? I exhaled sharply. Because I still don't know if I'm saving you, or if you just saved me. The first safe house was a no-go. Someone had been there recently. Someone who wasn't me. The second wasn't much better. It was only when we reached the outskirts of Brooklyn that I finally found a place I could trust. A rundown bar with a boarded-up back entrance that led to a basement I used for laying low. We slipped inside, locking every bolt behind us. Eva paced the room, arms wrapped around herself. What now? I ran a hand over my face. Now we figure out how to hit them before they hit us. She turned, eyes narrowing. You want to fight? I leveled her with a look. You think Frank is just going to let us run? You think there's a plane ticket out of here that doesn't come with a bullet in the back of our heads? She swallowed, looking away. She knew I was right. We take them out, I said, voice low. All of them. Hours passed. We strategized. We mapped out who was left in Frank's inner circle. We knew the Borellis had to be weakened after losing their shipments, their informants. But that didn't make them any less deadly. Then came the hardest part. Sal. He's the only one who could get us close, I muttered, staring at his name written across the dusty wooden table. He's been my brother since the beginning. If anyone could be turned. No, Eva cut me off. You can't trust him, Vince. I clenched my jaw. I have to try. She looked at me, sadness in her eyes. That's what got us here in the first place. I met Sal in an alley off Canal Street. His face was grim, his hands stuffed deep in his coat pockets. He looked older than I remembered, the weight of this world dragging him down. Jesus, Vince, he muttered. You should have run when you had the chance. I took a slow step forward. You don't have to do this. Sal exhaled, shaking his head. You know I do. I saw it then. The way his fingers twitched at his side. The faint bulge under his coat. His gun was already drawn. I don't want to kill you, Sal. His jaw tightened. You think I want this? I swallowed hard. Then let me walk away. A beat. A hesitation. Then. I can't. I heard the shift of his weight, the whisper of fabric as his hand moved. I shot first. One bullet. Center mass. Right through the heart. Sal gasped, stumbling back, his gun clattering to the pavement. He looked at me, shock flashing in his eyes. Then slowly his legs gave out. He collapsed onto the concrete. I caught him before he hit the ground. His blood soaked into my hands, hot and thick. I could feel his heartbeat fading, could hear his breaths grow shallow. His lips parted, barely above a whisper. You, a cough. More blood. Should have run. I gritted my teeth, gripping the back of his head, holding him up. I'm sorry. His body went still. His eyes, once so full of life, emptied into nothing. I lowered him gently. And then I walked away. When I got back to the safe house, Eva knew just by looking at me. I didn't say anything. Just washed my hands in the dingy bathroom sink, watching the water turn red. When I finally looked up, she was leaning against the doorway. He was your friend. I nodded. Yeah. She hesitated, then stepped forward. Are you okay? I turned off the faucet. Dried my hands. Met her eyes in the dim light. No. A long silence. Then, voice barely above a whisper, she asked. Do we have a chance? I didn't have an answer. Instead, I grabbed my gun, checked the clip, and looked at her with everything I had left. We finished this. And together, we walked out into the night, heading straight for the place where it all began. The Borelli stronghold. It was time for a bloodbath. Chapter 5, Blood Oath Broken. The warehouse loomed in front of us, a rusted skeleton of steel and shadows. It was the heart of the Borelli Empire, where blood was spilled and fortunes were made. And tonight, it would be where everything ended. Eva sat beside me in the car, gripping the gun I'd given her like it was the last thing tethering her to this world. Her hands were steady. No fear. Just cold, determined resolve. You don't have to do this, I muttered, keeping my eyes on the entrance. She let out a hollow laugh. You still don't get it, do you? They made sure I don't have a choice. Neither do you. She was right. This wasn't about revenge anymore. It wasn't about loyalty. It was survival. I exhaled, tightening my grip on my gun. Once we step inside, there's no turning back. Eva looked at me, eyes dark and unreadable. We were never turning back. With that, I killed the engine. We stepped out into the night. Inside, the air was thick with the scent of oil, metal, and something darker, something old. The echoes of past executions hung heavy in the rafters. They were waiting for us. Frank sat at the center of the room like a king on a throne, flanked by a dozen men. Sal stood off to the side, hands in his pockets, not meeting my eyes. He knew how this was going to go down. Frank leaned back, lighting a cigar. You must really have a death wish, Vince. You should have just done what you were told. I took a slow step forward, my gun trained on him. And let you keep running your sick little operation? His mouth twisted into a smirk. Oh, so now you got a conscience? Spare me. You knew what this life was. You just didn't want to see it. The worst part. He was right. Yeah, I admitted. Guess I finally opened my eyes. Frank exhaled smoke, shaking his head. Shame. You were one of the best. He glanced at Eva. And you. You should have known better. Eva stood her ground, gun raised. I'd do it again. Frank sighed. Then I guess this is it. His hand flicked, a signal. Everything exploded at once. Gunfire ripped through the air, turning the warehouse into a war zone. Eva and I dove behind a stack of crates as bullets tore through the metal walls. I fired back, taking out the first man who got too close. Sal hesitated. For a fraction of a second, he hesitated. Then he raised his gun at me. I didn't hesitate. One shot. Straight through the chest. Sal staggered, his gun slipping from his hand as he collapsed. No time to think. No time to grieve. Eva and I pushed forward, taking cover, taking shots, cutting through the men standing between us and Frank. Bodies fell. Blood painted the concrete floor. And then it was just us and him. Frank sat there, his gun in his lap, a slow smirk curling his lips. Looks like you win, kid. I stepped closer, gun aimed at his head. This ain't a game. Isn't it? Frank chuckled. You really think taking me out changes anything? Someone else will take my place. Someone worse. I didn't care. I pulled the trigger. The shot echoed through the empty warehouse. Frank slumped back, a gaping hole between his eyes. It was over. Or so I thought. The distant wail of sirens cut through the silence. Eva turned to me, her expression unreadable. I made sure they had everything they needed. The evidence. The files. It's done, Vince. I looked at her, heart hammering. Then why do I hear sirens? She didn't answer. I took a step back. Eva, what did you do? She swallowed, her grip tightening on the gun. You were never going to walk away from this. Neither was I. But at least now, it ends the right way. Betrayal sliced through me like a blade. You fucking turned me in. She didn't deny it. Didn't apologize. I almost laughed. The irony of it. The woman I spared had just handed me over. The red and blue lights flashed against the walls as the doors burst open, armed agents flooding in. I closed my eyes. Vince Caruso. Drop your weapon. Hands in the air. I exhaled slowly, lifting my hands. Eva took a step forward, voice barely above a whisper. I did what I had to do. I looked at her one last time. Memorized her face. The woman who loved me. The woman who betrayed me. The woman I would have died for. As they slammed me to the ground, cuffing my wrists, I smiled bitterly. I broke my oath. But maybe, just maybe, I saved my soul. The end.